All right, and with that, we're happy to be joined by Will Oakley, former University of Alabama wide receiver. Will, good morning.
Morning, man. How you doing?
Doing well, Will. Will, we're talking about the SEC Championship game before we went to break, and certainly wanted to get your thoughts on it as well. Were you down in Northeast Florida watching that game, or were you in Atlanta?
I was down in Florida watching the game with my family. My heart stopped probably about three different times during that game, so I'm still recovering, to be honest with you.
It was a thriller, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, man. I would have given anything to been a part of it, but proud of the guys and Coach Saban for bringing another one back home. But man, it was crazy. It just was, I don't know, it was unreal. I couldn't imagine what those guys were feeling. Like I said, I'd have given anything to be a part of that, but. Very, very proud of him for sure.
Do you feel like you were born 2-3 years too early now?
they said the same thing in high school because, as soon as we had a program, we were 2-8, and then we were 7-3, and then 5-5 the last year with Tebow there. And then, when I left, the program started to build up, and they won the state championship the next 2 years. So it's kind of the same thing. So I'm a little bit used to it at this point.
Well, do you ever get tired of people asking you about Tebow? It's got to happen.
I don't get tired of it because, I kind of accepted it, but I'm used to it now, but for a while I was kind of like, good grief. Especially when, he moved to the Jets and he was getting all this publicity and, Coach Ryan was still talking about Sanchez being a starter, and I couldn't believe it, but, anytime somebody asked me about, his playing ability and everything. I just think back on, to high school and everything, how hard we worked and how much he earned it. So, really proud of him, to be honest with you. I try not to, get annoyed by it. It's the same thing when people ask me about football. Nowadays it's, some people are like, oh, don't ask them about football all the time. They can talk about something else besides football. And I really don't mind it because, you kind of relive it through these conversations with people and it really doesn't bother me.
Former teammate of yours, Greg McElroy, actually got some action for the Jets last week. There was a little bit of chatter that he might even get a start this week, but it didn't happen. So Tebow and McElroy, two guys you're familiar with in Jets uniforms.
Yeah. Greg is, Greg's one of the hardest working guys I've ever been around, and probably one of the smartest football players that I've ever played with. He certainly deserves to get a shot. Just to showcase what he can do, and Greg's always been like a manager of the team. When he was at Alabama, we kind of looked at him as like the facilitator. He didn't have to do anything outrageous, but he didn't make a whole lot of mistakes, and that's why they won. And we kind of knew that Greg was that kind of quarterback. Even when if he was backing up John Parker, when I was there. But I know, unfortunately, I didn't get to have him as a starter just to kind of see him fill that role. But, he definitely stepped in there. The Jets, I think he did well.
So, Will, who's the better quarterback?
Can't put me on the spot, man.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what we do here. We put people on the spot. That's our favorite hobby.
You want me to answer that question for you?
They bring different things to the table. I think, it's hard to compare two quarterbacks from two completely different styles and two different ways of leading the team, head-to-head because, Tebow brings this excitement, this motivating, it makes you want to just, pour your heart out for the team and go all out. And Greg brings this the sense of like a security, like a manager. He's almost like a coach out there on the field. He's not gonna mess up really. Greg knows what's going on. He knows the defense. He knows what they're gonna do. So it's kind of it's two different aspects of the way they play, and it's kind of hard to compare them straight up. But having played with both of them, each of them, they would be the type of quarterback you could run an offense with both of them and probably be successful.
What a class act answer right there, boy. You can't go wrong with that.
I'm just trying to be honest, guys.
You got a future in politics, Will.
That's right.
Hey, man, I wanted to ask you about Amari Cooper as well. Obviously, this guy has kind of exploded on the scene for the Crimson Tide. His numbers as a true freshman for Alabama are very close and in some ways even better than the numbers that Julio Jones put up as a true freshman in 2008.
Hey, didn't y'all give me hell on the show the other night?
Boy, if you think Mark Cooper's better than Julio Jones, stop smoking that stuff.
I'll smoke what I want to smoke, but I'll tell you this. He is doggone near it.
Man.
Yeah. He cannot pass block.
Man, people, look.
Still a freshman at that, too, though.
Yes, but Will, people compare – they're comparing receiving yardage and catches. Julio Jones brought so much more to that football team he played on that Amari can't even come close to the extra stuff that Julio was doing. He's just not big enough. He don't have the body to do what Julio could do.
Yeah, that's right, John.
We'll set Julio aside for a moment, Will. Your thoughts on Amari Cooper, just look at him in a – by himself, the freshman year he's put up for Alabama, and especially the game he played. We'll get to Julio, but especially the game he played against Georgia. Will, what'd you think of this kid?
I mean, he looked like the senior out there. I mean, he's so experienced already, and so calm and cool out there on the field. I mean, you don't see him out there jawing and getting into all that, which is actually that kind of reminds me of Julio. I mean, Julio really didn't get to do all that stuff. But he didn't get distracted by all the, you know, the antics, and you know how DBs are. They like to get in your ear a little bit. I don't know. Amari seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He seems like he's, you know, pretty cool out there. And I mean, you see that kid run his routes. I mean, he just, you know, he runs so smooth, like a track guy. And you know, it doesn't look like he's going as fast as he is. And all of a sudden, I mean, he's wide open. I'm not exactly sure what he runs a 40 in, but I mean, he's a burner for sure. And you know, it's cool watching a guy out there like that. I mean, I'd love to give him had a chance to, you know, to play with him. I actually didn't have – there wasn't really anybody out there like Amari when I was there. Probably, you know, compare it to something like, you know, like a Keith Brown when Keith, you know, Keith's freshman year when Keith was at his best, you know, that kind of speed. You know, but as far as, you know, comparing to Julio, it's, you know, it's two different things. Julio's a big body guy, you know, just as fast. Amari's probably a little quicker. Probably can get a little more separation, but Julio is as strong as he is. He's going to get that separation by out physicaling somebody. So,
who's better, Julio or Amari?
I mean, Julio's proven, you know, the years that he was there.
There he is.
Julio was a great blocker, too. You got to throw that in there.
I'd have to go with my boy JJ. But I don't know. I mean, Amari, well, I think he'll get there, too. Absolutely. I think he'll be just as good by the time he's ready to, you know, sign up for the draft.
What about this, Will? Who will put up more career NFL stats? Julio,
are you serious?
Julio.
Yeah. He's got the bigger body, the NFL 6'4", body.
230. Are you serious?
He's got that NFL body, you know. But you know, I mean, we'll see. You know, guys like Amari are out there. You know, finesse guys are out there, and they do well. And you know, you see like a guy like Chad Johnson. You know, not very big. Not, you know, 6'6", 1. You know, 185. Amari seems like that type of receiver, runs those kind of routes. And when Chad Johnson was at his, you know, at his best, you know, it's similar type of route runner. So, you know, I mean, guys on both sides do well. You know, just different ways to look at playing the position.
You going to be traveling south to Miami for that national championship game, Will?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm already looking at trying to get tickets, and you know, It's in process.
Those rich Notre Dame fans are driving the prices way up for that game. Way up.
They would.
That's why I'm not a Catholic.
I'm trying to get my hands on two so I can sell them.
Yeah, I think the average price on the secondary market right now is like $1,600-$1,700 for a single ticket, and not even a good one.
Yeah, man, for $1,700. I will watch that thing at home on my flat screen and collect that 1700.
Well, 1700, yeah, I'll watch it on the black and white.
We don't come across a good deal on tickets. I mean, we'll go down there for sure, you know, just to kind of – just to be a part of the atmosphere, because it's only – you know, it's only like 3.5 hours from my house, so, I mean, that's nothing. So we'll be down there for sure, at least just, you know, be part of the scene. But hopefully we'll come across some good deal down there.
Yeah, be safe when you go down there, man. It's crazy in Miami.
There's no drinking. There's no drinking in Miami.
Yeah, no, people don't drink to be driving in Miami.
It's a dry county. Has anybody ever told you that?
Yeah.
Nothing but dry heaves, you mean?
Yeah, dry heaves. Nothing but bootleggers in that city.
Well, we got to get out of here, man. Thanks as always for joining us on Crimson Cover. We're gonna get you back on the air here pretty soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. Y'all have a good one. Roll Tide.